Since 1937, the lights of spiritual guidance purpose has been to proclaim Jesus Christ as he brings light into a darkened world. So glad you chose to join us today, and I trust the program will be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. My name is Lane Lohman, the producer of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, and we have reached the last weekend of the month of June. And it's hard to believe. We're halfway through the year, and we're in the midst of camp meeting season. And I'm excited about how the Lord has blessed and is going to continue to bless during this camp meeting season. Just finished up camp meeting in North Carolina, and now looking forward to revival services July 7 to 10 in Orab, Ohio at the Cross Point Wesleyan Church. And then I'm going to drive over to Mount Vernon, Ohio, July the 18th, and be one of the speakers at the great Camp Syker Holiness Camp meeting in Mount Vernon, Ohio. That's July 18 to 28. So I do covet your prayers as I travel and as I prepare and minister. Well, we're going to share with you the second half of the sermon we started last week that my father preached, the founder of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, Dr. J. Harold Lohman. He preached this sermon at Brown City Holiness Camp meeting many, many years ago, and he was a favorite there, and I know that you will enjoy the rest of the sermon as we share it with you today. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our listening audience. I pray that you would bless each person that's listening. Those who need a word of encouragement, may the program be that for them today. I pray that you would be with us as we continue ministry on the radio as well as in camp meetings and revivals. I pray that you would touch that person that's sick and shut in. And Father, I would lift to you today so that the people can hear. There are evangelist friends who are dealing with very serious physical needs. I think of my dear friend, Dr. Stephen Manley. Would you touch him today? And I pray that you would just continue to use us in these days. We thank you so much for your blessings. I pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget to write to me. We have an extra weekend of airtime to pay for during this month of June. So would you please write us a letter and enclose a gift? We're listener supported, as most of you know. The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Thanks so much for considering that. I appreciate it. May God bless you as you listen today.
Save my soul, my Savior. Ohio State University. Young man graduated with honors in the area of computers. Wandered in a revival one night in that city and found the Lord. Wasn't long after that until he was gloriously sanctified. One day his boss called him in and he said to him, "We're going to have to start a training period here with a group of young men that's been employed by this company, and you're to be their instructor. But you'll have to change your working hours and work from 7 to 9 o'clock, 5 nights a week during the training period." He said to him, he said, "Sir, I appreciate the fact that you think I'm qualified to train those young men, but I couldn't take that job." And the boss had told him it'd be $3,000 more to his salary during the training period. He said, "I couldn't take that job if you gave me 3 times that much money." He said, "Why?" He said, "Because I'm occupied at night." He said, "Well, what do you do at night?" Well, he said, "First of all, I want to tell you about my newfound experience. Just recently, I met Jesus. And he changed my life. And the Holy Spirit came into a bag." And he said, "I share Tuesday night with a group of young adults in our church in prayer and Bible study and testimony. And on Wednesday night, I go to prayer meeting. On Thursday night, I help with the visitation program in my church. And God automatically gets my time on Sunday night." You think what would happen in the missionary church in this district if the folks gave God that kind of time? Amen. You say, "Brother Loman, that gets a little close." I want it to. Because he's set his love on me. He says, "Because he set his love on me, therefore will I deliver him." And the third contingency, he says, "I will set him on high because he's known my name." That's the third contingency. Do you know his name tonight? You say, "Mr. Loman, that's just a little bit foolish to ask a congregation like this that's identified with the Wesleyan Armenian position and evangelical circles if we know his name." I'm not talking about knowing him as a figure of speech. I'm asking you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, do you know him? Have you ever met him? No, I never saw him with the natural eye. I never saw the nail prints in his hands or a thorn-scarred brow. I didn't see the blood that ran out of his veins. But the 18th of August, 1935, at a little homemade mourner's bench 8 miles north of Greensboro, North Carolina, under a little ragged gospel tent, I met Jesus. That's 46 years ago. You know, I'll have a birthday. What's today? The 17th? I'll have a birthday tomorrow. 46 years ago, I met him. I've traveled all over this country, and I'm not boasting about this, but I've met a lot of dignitaries in my time. I've had the privilege to sit on the camp meeting platform and share the camp meeting platform with the greatest preachers in the holiness movement for the last 25, 30 years. I know them by name. I've slept with them on trains, and I've been with them on airliners and in the automobile. I've worked and lived with them in the same workers' cottages, sat at the same workers' table, had fellowship with them. And their names are legion. I know governors of states, and I know Billy Graham personally, and I know the mayors of some of our great cities personally. I think one of the greatest honors I ever had, irrespective of what you think about him, I think one of the greatest honors I ever had was to know our former President Richard Nixon personally. And when he went out of office under a cloud, I literally wept. I was brokenhearted because I knew him. And I no one would ever made me believe that he would have ever done some of the things that he did. My heart was broken, but I had the privilege to know him. And I only tell you that to tell you this. The names of governors and mayors and preachers and a former president, every one of their names, regardless of how prominent they were, all of their names fade away into utter insignificance when I think about the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is so sweet. I love its music to repeat. Jesus, oh, how sweet the name. Jesus, every day the same. Let all saints proclaim the precious name of Jesus. Spiritual ascendancy. You can live above the plane of the world. You can live on a higher plane when you know his name. Now, ladies and gentlemen, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, because he's known my name and because he set his love on me, he says, therefore, he can call on me and I will answer him. Now, underline that. That's divine promise. And I could stay here till midnight and never get through telling you how wonderful it is to know something about divine promise. I've been on the radio for 44 years. I'm on a network of stations across the country. And I've never had a commercial sponsor. I've never had a company or a church or a denomination to underwrite the cost. And I've never had but one station to ever give me my time. I have to pray in $400 every week that comes just to pay for radio time. Several years ago, I was in Perrysburg, Ohio. I owed two radio stations $50 apiece. And in my devotions this particular morning, I reminded the Lord how he had promised that he would supply the need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I said, now, Lord, you know I owe these two radio stations $50 apiece. And I've got to take care of that obligation within the next 7 days. And I want you to somehow, some way, meet that need. And just as clear as I'm talking to you, and I know, beloved, I don't intend to be intimidated by these modern-day sophisticates that make fun of us because when we say that the Lord told us and the Lord led us, I want you to know he does tell us and he does lead us. And if you're not in a position where he can speak to you and lead you, you better check up on your religion. The Lord spoke as clear to me as I've ever heard a human being speak. And he said, tonight in the service, you request prayer for your radio work. I said, no, Lord, I don't want to do that. These people up here don't hear my program. And I don't want to lay that extra burden on them. And all through the day, every once in a while, he would nudge me and say, don't forget to request prayer tonight in the service for your radio ministry. I said, I don't want to do it, Lord. And I pushed it aside, came to church. The lady was singing the special. I almost forgot about it. And the Holy Spirit said, don't forget to request prayer for your radio ministry. I turned to the pastor and asked permission. He had known about my ministry in other days. And he said, you go right ahead. Feel free anyway. And I got up and I said, before I read my scripture and preach tonight, I want to ask you to pray for a phase of my ministry that involves our radio work. And that's all I said. I brought my message, had a good altar service, went on to the parsonage, and I was sitting at the table in the kitchen drinking a cup of coffee, and the pastor came in, threw a piece of paper over on the table, rolled up tight about as big as my finger. He said, a lady said, give you this. And I unfolded that piece of paper and out fell five $20 bills. And I read the note. Listen, you listen. I read the note. This was Wednesday night. It said, dear Mr. Lohman, when I went home Monday night from church, I had the most unusual burden for you. She said, the Holy Spirit impressed me that you had a burden, a need, a load that you was carrying. And she said, I said, Lord, if Mr. Lohman's carrying a burden over a need that he has, have him request prayer for it during this meeting. And when you requested prayer tonight for your radio ministry, he said to me, that's his burden and you can help him. And she said, I hope this little gift will be a help to you. Why, be a help? It was exactly what I needed, right to the penny. You say, Brother Lohman, that seems incredible. Sure it does, but do you know why that happened? Because one day I made him my refuge. I set my love on him. I got acquainted with him. Divine promise. Oh, I wish I could stay there. Why? But he goes a step further and he says, and I will be with him in trouble. That's divine presence. You know of anything any more wonderful than to have him with you? Near to your side? Sense his presence. I'll never leave you nor forsake you, but I'll go with you even unto the end of the age. I know a fellow by the name of Daniel that knew something about this because he'd made him his refuge and he'd set his love on him and he knew his name. And you know the only thing they could find wrong with Daniel was he prayed too much. And that crowd in the kingdom got it in for him. And they had them draw up a decree that a man couldn't pray to his God for 30 days. And if he did, it'd be the lion's den. You say, Preacher Lohman, that's a kid's Bible story. It may be, but it do you adults good to read it again once in a while. And you see, Daniel prayed three times a day with the window raised. I don't say you have to do that, but that's the way Daniel prayed. And I have no doubt in my mind he could have prayed laying across the bed in the back closet, in the secret place of prayer, or in a back room somewhere, and God was just as adequate to hear him in that particular position. You see, it's not the position or the posture that you're in when you pray that makes the difference. It's the condition of the heart. And Daniel was a fella that prayed like that. That was just the way he prayed. And I have no doubt what the devil said to him. If you raise that window and they catch you praying tomorrow morning, it's the lion's den. And every time I read it, it does something to me. I see Daniel as he goes over the next morning and pushes that window up just as high as it go. And it thrills me when it says, and he prayed as he had prayed aforetime. Brother, that crowd didn't faze him a minute. And it wasn't long till they arrested him and started down to the lion's den with him. And Dr. Tony Anderson said that didn't faze Daniel a bit, because God had already dispatched an angel from the glory down to the lion's den to give those lions lockjaw. And Daniel used the lion's mane for a pillar all night long. He slept good, but the king was restless. And the king went down the next morning and said, Daniel's your God able to deliver you? He said, oh, king, live forever. You know why the Lord saw to it that the lion didn't bother Daniel? Because he had made him his refuge. He had set his love on him, and he knew his name. Three Hebrew boys came into town that day, and the music sounded, and everybody bowed but them. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Somebody said, don't you know you're supposed to bow down when that music sounds? And whichever one was the spokesman for the crowd, he said, we don't bow down to idols. And the authorities found out about it. And they served notice on them that you bow when that music sounds, or it's the fiery furnace heated seven times hotter than it's ever been heated before. And when that music sounded, ladies and gentlemen, those three boys stood there. Uncle Buddy said they stood there with backbones big as a thaw log. And the king immediately ordered the procedure to set the things in motion to heat that furnace seven times hotter than it had ever been heated before. And the king brought out his easy chair to see the proceedings, and they threw those three boys into that fiery furnace. The book says they didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. Well, you say, Preacher Loman, you don't believe that. If I didn't believe that, this would be my last sermon. I'd go home in the morning. Why not believe that? Well, you said you just want to be reasonable. Well, there's nothing unreasonable about that. If you're speaking with John Moran and Brother Jones and Brother Juan and Brother Loman and the rest of these preachers, but when you deal with omnipotence, he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Why would you think it difficult for a God who threw into existence this world and put the queen of night into her orbit to shed a golden ray of light across a midnight sky, and set the furnace of the sun on fire to shed rays of warmth to Mother Earth, and strike the womb of night with his male fist until 10 billion stars gleamed on the stretches of boundless space, and paint the late afternoon sunset with the golden hues of heaven's beauty, and set the evening star to stand like a lone sentinel on guard duty in the western horizon, and scoop out the valleys and uprear the mountains, and say, thus far to ocean waves shall thou come and no further, and carpet this earth with verdant green, and lace it with running brooks and with flowing rivers, and blow his breath on the petal of a rose, and turn it to a golden yellow, a velvet pink, a crimson red, a lily white, and pick up a handful of dust, and make man in the likeness of his image, and breathe into man the breath of life, and man become a living soul, and put his hand on a little virgin to conceive, to bring forth a child. His name should be called Jesus, for he should save his people from their sin. A God that could do all that, he wouldn't have any trouble keeping smoke from smelling end up some of his children that he wanted to deliver out of the fire furnace. But he not only says, I will answer him, that's divine promise, and I'll be with him, that's divine presence, but I'll honor him. That's divine privilege. If I hadn't got acquainted with him 46 years ago, nobody in Michigan would have ever known that anybody ever lived by the name of Harold Loman. I was brought up in a little cotton mill community of less than 200 families north of Greensboro, North Carolina. I only had an eighth grade education when he called me to preach, and was already married. I didn't weigh but 127 pounds. Just almost a handful of nothing. And I told him the night he sanctified me, I said, Lord, I don't have much to give you, but if you can take what there is, you can have it. And ladies and gentlemen, hear me. I finished high school, and I was holding a revival in Gibsonville, North Carolina. And I had preached a week and finished my sermon on Monday night of the second week, and I collapsed on the platform. And when I came to, I was in the home of a friend and a doctor sitting by my bedside. I won't go into the details tonight. I won't have time. But because I'd set my love on him, and because I had made him my refuge, and because I knew his name, on Friday night, 42 years ago, in last June, he healed me. I'd had a complete nervous breakdown, symptoms of tuberculosis, and they discovered a leak in the heart valve, but he healed me. Doctors had said I'd never preach again, but he healed me. He told me I'd stay in that hospital room 3 months, and if I ever preached anymore, it'd be once a week the rest of my life, and I have to be careful. But he healed me. And since that time, I've averaged preaching twice every day for the last 20 years, including Monday, driven over 2 million miles by automobile in the last 35 years, and ladies and gentlemen, traveled in 39 states, Canada, and Cuba, and I've never had a recurrence of any of those maladies that put me in the bed. I'll honor him, and I want you to know it's an honor. It's an honor for me to have the privilege to preach to you. It's an honor, kids, for me to share your fun out there on the softball field. It's an honor to pick up a letter and be invited to Brown City Camp Meeting. Because if I hadn't have got acquainted with him, you'd have never known that I ever lived. Divine privilege. But I gotta close. He says, I'll satisfy him. And that's divine pleasure. Oh, beloved, tonight, to be satisfied completely. I've had people to say to me, Brother Loman, what do you do since you got all wrapped up in this religious stuff? What do you do for a good time? That's the biggest piece of nonsense I ever heard of in my life. My brother, I don't worry about what I'm going to do for a good time. I worry about where I'm going to get the time to do all I want to do. I don't have enough time. Time runs out. I made my choice forever. Twixt the world and God's dear Son, I'd rather walk with Jesus alone, have for my pillow like Jacob a stone, living each moment with his face in view, than to shrink from my pathway and fail to go through.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I do hope you'll find a place to worship, and if you live near any of the following churches, I know you would be welcome. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Kentucky, I know you would be welcome in any of the churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point, Friendship Baptist Church, Willow Springs, or Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity. Here in the state of Indiana, where this program is produced, in the city of Columbus, Indiana, I know you would be welcome at Bethel Wesleyan Church, Columbus Free Methodist Church, or Flintwood Wesleyan Church. And in the state of Ohio, I know you would be welcome in the city of Fostoria, Ohio, at Trinity United Brethren Church. Hope you'll take time to write us a letter of support. It would mean so much. You could write to me, The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and give through the Venmo or PayPal tag there. I hope you'll tune in next week at this same time. And in the meantime, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.